It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll take a look at the latest in national politics, from lawmakers fighting on Capitol Hill over President Trump's cabinet picks to the ongoing immigration ban controversy and more.
First, President Trump made a long-awaited announcement last night. He named federal appellate court judge Neil Gorsuch as his Supreme Court nominee. Gorsuch, who is from Colorado, will fill the seat left vacant after the death of conservative Justice Antonin Scalia.
Trump praised Gorsuch as a worthy successor to Scalia last night. Here is the nominee speaking about the late justice last night after the president announced his nomination.
The towering judges that have served in this particular seat of the Supreme Court, including Antonin Scalia and Robert Jackson, are much in my mind at this moment. Justice Scalia was a lion of the law. Agree or disagree with him, all of his colleagues on the bench cherish his wisdom and his humor. And like them, I miss him.
Gorsuch seems like a popular choice so far among conservatives. Democrats are expected to put up a fight, especially after President Obama's nominee for Supreme Court, Merrick Garland, was stonewalled effectively by Senate Republicans. Joining us now to tell us more about the future of the nation's highest court, we have Kimmy King with us. She's a professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to the show.
Hello, public radio.
Well, Antonin Scalia's replacement, Gorsuch, potentially future Justice Gorsuch, how does he compare to his likely predecessor here?
In many ways, he is like Scalia. He is an originalist. He believes in looking at the text of the Constitution to make determinations about how it should be interpreted. It's also striking that Scalia could be critical of the legislature and question the extent to which you could divine constitutional rights from legislative intent. He has the judicial pedigree. He is a Harvard Law grad with a BA from Columbia and a graduate degree from Oxford. So he has that kind of judicial elite background that we look for. Not only that, but he's out of the Tenth Circuit, considered to be somewhat more conservative, and so he has the judicial credentials in terms of having already been a federal appellate judge. So in many ways, it is an appropriate fit for the Republicans to put him forward.
Resume, it seems like there's not much question. He's got that kind of background, but a lot of people, of course, are going to look at ideological leanings, precedent, things he's ruled on in the past. He's fairly young as Supreme Court justices go. How much do we know about his rulings in the past?
We actually know a fair amount about him, but we don't know the specific details in any given case. And that's actually the case with virtually every candidate that gets put up on the court. One of the things that conservatives are very concerned about is what we call the Souter effect. David Souter was put on with people thinking that they understood his conservative credentials, and then he got on the court and he didn't turn out to be like that. And so that's what conservatives are concerned about. Liberals, on the other hand, point to a few key things. His decision regarding reproductive birth control in the Hobby Lobby case at the lower level, as well as a very well thought out book that he did on the ethics of physician assisted suicide and euthanasia. So they point to that and say, aha, he has a pro-life bent. But to go back to your original question, at this point, it doesn't matter what the legal issues are. We've stopped having Supreme Court nominations and arguably lower federal court nominations being a function of legal philosophy, and long ago they became an issue of political bantering between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Looking at the nomination of Neil Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court, Kimmy King is with us from the University of North Texas. Let's look at those political calculations in the Senate, who will have to confirm him. Republicans, this is payday for them in a lot of ways, isn't it? Conservatives in Congress, unsure about everything Donald Trump was going to do. That Supreme Court question, who he was going to appoint, really seemed to sway a lot of people. This is what they were looking for, wasn't it?
Yes, and this is something that became a hallmark really last year when the Republicans indicated that they were going to take a delay on the nomination, and it's a function of increased acrimony that we've seen between Republicans and Democrats on the Judiciary Committee that from, I think, virtually everyone's perspective, doesn't serve anybody really well. Remember that the Democrats back in 2013, because of what they felt were, you know, Republican obstructionist tactics, invoked the nuclear option, meaning that instead of getting the normal 60 votes, which had been in place for almost four decades, they began saying that it just had to be a simple majority for nominations to the Supreme Court because they felt like Republicans were blocking a bunch of Obama's nominations. Harry Reid, then Senate Majority Leader, was warned by the Republican leadership at that time, be careful about going nuclear. It will come back to bite you. And that's one of the specters that has been raised by President Trump with his acknowledgement that they could just go nuclear.
As I understand it, the nuclear option was for, in effect, everything but the Supreme Court. It was for lower court judges, but we haven't seen that happen for Supreme Court justices
correct.
Yet.
To clarify that, and in general, I mean, the way to think of it is that it's a parliamentary procedure that allows the U.S. Senate to kind of, you know, this requirement that you have to have a supermajority of 60 votes in order to have it be accomplished, because that's 60 votes is needed to close off debate. You can't actually vote on it until that debate has been closed off.
Looking at it from the perspective of those Democrats now, they can filibuster and risk the nuclear option being invoked. Is there going to be some ill will given that we had just shy of a year of Merrick Garland's nomination sitting in limbo, never even brought to hearings or a vote? Are they going to be looking for payback if possible?
I would argue that it doesn't really matter what the Democrats or the Republicans do. They are going to be continually in this state of frenzy towards each other about ill will. So it's not clear that no matter what happens, that there won't be ill will and that there won't be payback. I think one of the things to be careful about is remember that some folks on the Trump side had wanted someone that wasn't one of the judicial elites. They wanted a common person. They liked the candidates that Trump put forward in his original list of 21 people as folks that had held political positions, that had run for office, that had something other than a judicial background. So there are Trump folks who are kind of, Gorsuch is one of those elites. But then you also have Democrats concerned that he will be a radical conservative and could tip the balance of power. And remember that, you know, Harriet Myers back in 2005 got dinged by a Republican Senate because it was thought that she didn't have the credentials that were needed and she didn't come from the judicial elites. So on both sides of the aisle, there's unhappiness. The question is how they are pointing the finger at each other.
People have pointed out that Gorsuch has worked with a couple of Supreme Court justices in the past, Justice White and Justice Kennedy. Now, Justice Kennedy in the conservative side of the court, but often seen as a swing vote. People have been speculating, hey, this guy knows him. Maybe that will help pull Kennedy to the right. Are things that simple?
It's never that simple between a mentor and a mentee. And remember, Gorsuch has had a long, distinguished career separate and apart from someone who was his mentor in a limited period of time. It can also be the case that Gorsuch has learned from Kennedy and knows how to get inside Kennedy arguments and how to defeat them. The fact of the matter is we just don't know how any justice is going to decide until they get on the bench. Kennedy has not really turned out to be the crazy conservative that some were really concerned about. And after Myers was dinged, who was thought to be more moderate, we wound up getting Alito, who is definitely more conservative. So ultimately, then, it's hard to tell.
And of course, this is Donald Trump's first nomination to the Supreme Court. Given our strange system of judges lasting as long as they want to or can stay in office, he may or may not get more. What do you expect maybe from future appointments?
So you have to remember that the average age of the current justice is quite high these days. And you have Kennedy, I believe, at 80 and Ginsburg at 83. I think those are roughly the numbers. They are starting to think about retiring, and I think that part of the reason why the Democrats are throwing up such bluster about this, they almost sort of have to. They just have to be careful about how they do it. They can see the appointments coming on down the road. So for Gorsuch, who's replacing a Scalia seat, there may not be that much of a visible change. But you've got to remember, Trump is going to be around for 4 more years, and those appointments are the ones that are going to be the real battleground. And if you think there's ill will now, get ready.
Kimmy, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
You betcha.
That's Kimmy King, professor of political science at the University of North Texas. She joins to talk about Neil Gorsuch, who was nominated last night by President Trump to fill a vacant Supreme Court seat.